Previously on The Sound of Football.
Martin O'Neill, Paolo Di Canio, Gus Poyet, Dick Advocaat, Sam Allardyce.
Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFillon.
Hello.
Well, the season is almost at a close. We're coming down to the last knockings. The leagues are all over, and we're just getting up. Well, we've got a whole slew of finals over the next 10 days or so, haven't we? We've got tomorrow night, as we're recording this on Tuesday. It'll probably be played out by the time you listen to this. It's going to be the Europa League final between Ajax and Man United.
Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
I didn't realise it was tomorrow.
I thought it would have been on a Thursday.
I thought that... Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah,
because we play Thursdays,
on Thursdays all year round, and except when it comes to the final, it's
Yeah, of course, because they're over there, aren't they? So yeah. Yes, we know.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we can't really talk about it because they'll have all listened to it. So, but it should be a great game, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Very young, exciting Ajax side. Against the
against of course, Manchester
against
United.
Yes, a very expensively assembled and ultimately disappointing Man United side.
Yes.
Yeah, should be an interesting match.
The winner gets a place in the Champions League next season.
They certainly do. Yeah,
so it's really worth giving it a go.
Yeah. So now that Man United have spent the last month with their foot off the gas, this is really what they've been gambling on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, this is what they've done.
All or nothing, then.
Yes.
I fancy them to do it personally.
Yeah. I reckon it's going to be a similar game to the League Cup final. I reckon Ajax will probably give them a good game. Similar sort of youngish team like Southampton, a lot of talent.
Red and white.
But ultimately, I think the...
United just win stuff.
Yeah.
They're really good at destroying the dreams of others.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Look, it's not as if Ajax, their cupboard is bare when it comes to silverware.
This is true, yes. I was probably speaking more for myself than for Ajax.
It's a year now, isn't it?
It has been a year.
I can still
barely speak about it.
Yeah, it has been a long season, hasn't it? I remember I was actually listening earlier to the first one we actually brought out this season. And I said, for the next 10 months, we will be here every week. And there were audible groans on there. I thought I'd actually edited them out, but they weren't. They were still there. They were still there, like from you two going, oh God. Yeah, and so many, many, many podcasts later, here we are, and it's the end of season. And Jan, I know this hasn't been the easiest season for you because you went down. We've already spoken about that.
Yeah.
But in a general football sense, what do you think of this, of 16-17? Was it an enjoyable one when you were looking at other clubs playing football?
I was watching other clubs. Yes, very much so. Yeah, I think there's been some real standout performances, if you like, this season.
Mm.
I think Conte's Chelsea have been outstanding and they have really, really, really set the league on fire.
Yeah.
I thought that... I mean, there's some players that they've had for a long time with Hazard and Costa. Though Costa, he stopped falling over and started scoring goals, although his head was turned a bit by China partway through the season. Hazard been amazing, and he didn't have the best of seasons last season. Kante coming in there obviously made a big difference, but Alonso, I think, has been a real surprise package for them coming in and doing his wing stuff. Former Sunderland man as well. So I thought they were a real class act, and I think worthy winners of the title. And I know everyone.
Your team of the year, then, yeah.
Everyone hates to pick up Chelsea. Everyone hates Chelsea from Chelsea fans. But I think it's hard to fault them this season. I think they've been outstanding.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair goes. And they'll put on a great but valiant show on Saturday, won't they, in the cup final, Terry?
Yeah, absolutely. That one's nailed on for Arsenal to win. Absolutely.
Yeah, stick on, isn't it, really?
Yeah. It's I think that the double is overrated these days, and that Chelsea will just, they'll get the old flip-flops on. they won't be too fussed about that. They'll
Again, Arsenal might just part the ways on the 26th minute and let John Terry hobble through and score.
And score, yes, they might. That was
testimonial style.
That was one of the worst things I think I'd ever heard. I couldn't believe it when I read about it. I didn't actually find out about it until yesterday evening because I have been out of the country.
You're always out of the bloody country. Well, you spend every weekend in Germany, don't you?
I spent two weekends this month in Germany, which I wouldn't describe as every week.
Every other week.
Yeah, but only in May. The rest of the week. Anyway, enough of my travel plans. I think that's a pretty horrible thing that happened there, I have to say. I think that, you know, football is still football. And, you know, you have to play the football and you don't sort of like, even, you know, these aren't exhibition matches. I mean, if it was an exhibition match, it would be a different matter, but it's a competitive fixture.
Mm.
You know, we've got to be grown up about this sort of thing, to be honest with you. I think it's very, very silly. There was a slightly similar situation at the beginning of the Bayern Munich-Freiburg game.
Right.
Really?
In which international acclaimed artiste Anastasia arrived before the game. It's all part of the tribute to Philipp Lahm, who retired, as we all know, and this was his last game. And she overstayed her welcome, shall we say. And there was a delay to the kickoff. And the Freiburg manager, who had something still to play for, because they were going for Europe, was miffed that this was being treated not like a proper football match and too much like a goodbye and a farewell. And this is a problem when you go to Bayern on the last day of the season, because this is a club that knows how to celebrate winning. They've had a lot of practice at it, but they can get a bit carried away.
So does the blame for this weekend's shenanigans in both these games lie squarely at the door of Lukas Podolski?
Well, I mean, no, because the it all goes back from before then. I mean, if there was the biggest lap of honour alone in this season, it would have been the Podolski England game, which is, they should have.
But at least that was a friendly, though.
At least it was a friendly. It wasn't an exhibition, but it was essentially an exhibition. I mean, it did lead to the best piece of football punditry of the season as well, in which Glenn Hoddle accused the Germans of treating it like a friendly, which was very funny because it was. They should have held that game in at Cologne Stadium, which is with the Müngersdorf Stadium, which is where. Where Podolski obviously is, that's his homeland. But anyway, I don't know how I feel about these protracted end of season celebrations and observations. It happens a lot in Germany anyway.
Yeah.
A lot more players know they're going at the end of a season. They do a lot more pre-contracts and stuff like that, and deals will be done. And, I mean, poor old Mohamed Dahoud had a very emotional time at Mönchengladbach. He's going to Dortmund in the summertime. And he's only a young fellow, and he was clearly emotional by it. And, you know, he ended up getting subbed off. And then Gladbach conceding a goal. And I think probably because he was, you know, just he wasn't in the best frame of mind to play the game. You know, I mean, he's only a kid. I mean, you don't need to do that. I mean, you give flowers and chocolates to a player at the end of their career. And that's what should have happened with John Terry, is they should have just ushered him on at the beginning of the game, gave him a bunch of flowers, and then told him to sit back down again.
Yes.
But that's not how he rolls, is it?
In Bobby Moore's final game for Fulham, final home game at the Cottage, he had a little thing before the game. What he did was he actually did a lap of honour with the Jules Rimet trophy.
Okay.
Showing people what he'd actually contributed.
Because he can, So I think that's fair.
Yeah. That wasn't a bad way of, I think that's
fair.
And then he played the game. And then he played the last game of the season as well. He played away. I think he was playing at Blackpool, I think. I can't...
Okay, but he didn't have a lap of honour there.
No. He did that.
He was chairlifted by Stanley Matthews or something like that.
It would have been a good thing.
Stan would have been up to it.
Yeah, Jimmy Arnfield would have been out there as well.
Jimmy Arnfield, Stanley Matthews,
sending off. They're all a bit. Well, I suppose that's it. They're all a bit weird.
There's a balance to be struck. Balance to be struck.
Because Tottenham as well had their send off, and we've got a bit used now to have to big parties at old grounds, haven't we? Even if that ground is really just being rebuilt, isn't it? Really,
I'm glad you said that, because for me, that's the same ground. They're just knocking down the old one and building another one on top of it.
I'm not sure. At least a bit of the pitch is still going to be on the footprint.
I'm really glad you said that. I just thought, I didn't know they were leaving. I know they're going to Wembley for a year, but I just thought they were just rebuilding the stadium.
The ground is actually like growing on the side, like Richard E. Grant's extra head.
Is that how to get ahead in advertising? Yeah.
It's like sort of like started off as a little spot, and now it's like a full face now.
Or it's a chest burster from the Alien movies.
It's a bit more slow and a bit more sort of
not quite as acidic and bad for your stomach.
Yeah, if that's how their ground really came out.
That would be amazing. Yeah,
that was through the pitch.
Just at the end of the game.
Boy, brilliant. That'd be brilliant if football was like that.
Yeah. Where's the new ground, Daniel?
£50, please.
The pitch is looking a bit more bulgy than normal.
That would be great.
Yeah, anyway.
No, I get that it's kind of is like because it's being completely destroyed and then and obviously it's on the way to being built because it's as you say so.
Yeah.
But still.
Still.
I suppose it's just all right. I thought Spurs' thing was all right. There's a difference between that and what John Terry did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Spurs actually did manage to find a good balance there, and they brought in a lot of actual proper names in there. And it was a lot better than what West Ham did anyway.
Yes, so. And it gave them an opportunity to sing some off-colour songs from the 90s as well, about Sol Campbell.
But Tottenham have had a pretty good season.
They've been brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the other team of the season. I mean, to be contrary, I would disagree with Jan and say they are the team of the season because they've kept it up again. Definitely. But
They have done really, really well. Their home form was astounding this season. Will they have that next season when they're playing at Wembley?
Big question. Because they were garbage at Wembley, am I right?
Utter garbage.
They need to be like the cats that rub up against the side of your furniture in order to, you know, get to know it and make it theirs. They need to go around frotting every single part of Wembley, leaving their scent on it.
Yeah,
leaving a musty odour, a musty Tottenham odour.
That would be an interesting opening ceremony, wouldn't it? Players urinating all over the pitch. It'd be like a cricket game.
I doubt it would be televised. Well, you might be. Well, maybe a late night. Late night Premier League after dark.
I don't... Oh, no. I mean, like, it's just going to take years for the smell to leave there anyway.
So. We know Tottenham fans. And okay, no. All right, I wish I hadn't said that out loud now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're going to be playing a lot there, aren't they? The whole season.
Well, every home game. Yeah.
Yeah, and I presume they've got it for cup games as well.
I wonder if
that's part of the league.
I think the deal is they've got it for the whole shebang.
So they've got there for all the Champions League games,
all the Premier League games.
Yeah, all the Premier
League.
And
one assumes all the cup games.
All the cup games. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose they could always move to a different stadium for the cup games. I mean, that's not out of the question.
No.
But
where do you go?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they need to work some juju on that stadium and make it theirs, take ownership of it. And the thing is it's going to be a challenge for them because it's like Wembley. I mean, I'm going to try and see if I can get myself along there.
Yeah.
And I haven't been to an away game for Palace for I don't know how long. Yeah. I really don't know how long. But it's Wembley. Palace going to Wembley. Yeah, let's go. You know, I mean, and you know, because I've got such fond memories of the place.
Yeah. I don't know, Jan, what you think, but I reckon it might be a positive thing for Tottenham because everyone goes on about the fact of like when you move into a new ground and all of a sudden the atmosphere is different and you've got and you struggle to build up there. After they've been a season in that barn at Wembley, going to a purpose-built stadium that they've designed and built, that should be a welcome relief from Wembley, shouldn't it?
I mean, you could also argue the contrary, that they're going to spend two seasons going into two new, completely new grounds, and it might mess them up completely.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which I'm getting that you're hoping won't happen.
No, I hope it doesn't happen, because they're such a good team and such a joy to watch at the
moment. They are, both of those things.
They are indeed.
I think they'll be fine. There might be jitters for the first few games, but I think they'll be fine after that. And if anything, you know, they'll have all the sports psychologists in there making sure they spend as much time as possible.
They'll have moved in, you know, and so, I mean, they can't brand it like, you know, West Ham did with their stadium. They'll be doing their best to make it, you know, a bit Spursy.
Harry Kane will have his little teddy bear in the corner.
Aww.
It'll all be just like it was at White Hart Lane for him.
Yeah.
Fine. He'll be all happy.
They'll have it one week, some NFL team will have it the next.
Yeah.
That'll be fun, won't it?
So. You two will be in between there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and West Ham will be able to see, this is what we should be doing. Well, so that's the top of the Premier League. But, of course, as we say, this season just... It's like a villain in a 1990s action movie, isn't it? You know, just when you think it's dead, it comes back up again and it comes up attacking you again. Because, of course, there's been management shenanigans as well this week for both of your clubs.
Mm.
Yeah. In fact, it could be three, couldn't it, really?
If Arsenal don't win the cup?
Yeah. We might be looking at all three of our teams
yeah.
could be managerless by the end of the week.
Mm. With Moyes going... Yeah. I think that, you know, there's always a chance of that happening, and it had been well documented in the press that there was going to be this meeting between the ownership and him, and they were going to talk about, you know, his plans or what he wanted to do with the team the next season, and whether the owners could meet those demands. So you kind of go, well, that could, you know, wasn't that much of a surprise. Allardyce probably less so, but okay, you know. A club in the lower half of the table, a manager who's used to jumping out of jobs after a little only a short while. That's understandable, but Wenger, with all he's done,
yeah.
But I know there's a very very vocal section of the supporters that do want him to go, but having achieved all he's achieved over these years, and he's still he's fallen outside of the Champions League, but. Surely he's still a successful manager by any definition of it.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, everyone I've spoken to about it this season, everyone seems to come up with the same idea, is that if he wants to go to a job in Europe, almost every door will be open for him if he didn't want to manage at Arsenal anymore. Almost every job. I don't think everyone would be that welcoming. But it would be that... Whatever job he went to would be a better club than the person we get his replacement from.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
With the possible exception if he goes to Borussia Dortmund, because it does seem quite likely that Thomas Tuchel will be leaving.
Yeah.
Really?
Despite what I said earlier in the season, that it was an unlikely event, the relationship between him and the chief executive has deteriorated significantly.
Really?
To the point where the chief executive is now briefing his friends in the local Dortmund media with unhappy stories about.
So this is why Tuchel. This is why so, why the guy left Mainz, isn't it?
Martin Schmidt. Yeah. Yes, so, maybe so. So he's so ready to take
Dortmund
over.
Dortmund are going to do it again.
Yeah, they're going to recruit another former Mainz coach. I don't know that is a joke. I don't know if that's going to happen at all. But none of this. We don't know because Dortmund have one more game to play as well. Of course, they've got a cup final. Of their own to play.
Yeah, it's cup final Saturday.
It is. It's just going to be all being well, assuming that Arsenal don't play with their food and beat Chelsea in 90 minutes. We'll be able to watch it straight after.
Yes. Yes. There.
The only thing, exception to that, would be is if Arsene Wenger was to go to a Borussia Dortmund. But I'm having trouble conceiving that as a notion. I think they might go for someone different. Actually, Lucien Favre is the favourite. But Barcelona have a vacancy.
Yeah.
It's not out of the question that PSG could have a vacancy because Unai Emery hasn't worked out there as well as he could have done. He could go to Monaco because that coach will have turned a few heads.
Yeah, he certainly will.
So a return to Monaco is not out of the question.
Jardim is going to be in demand.
You'd think
summer.
So, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Barcelona were sniffing around him actually to take over.
Yeah, yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. And if so, if the Monaco job came up,
then
Wenger might say, well, actually, I wouldn't mind having a couple of years retirement back on the old stomping ground.
Absolutely. And it would be a very strong, good
with a really good team.
With a great team and with Champions League football and, you know, no small amount of backing as well. Yeah. So, so then Arsenal would then be stuck with who would they are. Yeah. You're right. They wouldn't get their coach from... I mean, I think the only is the Juve coach is the one that people seem to think is the one they're going to do, but that seems fanciful, particularly if Juve win the Champions League, as they well might.
Yeah, it seems fanciful unless they want to drive an absolute truckload of money for him. Mm. And as well, there's no guarantee that he's going to do any good over here.
You said this yourself, that the problem is that you could replace the coach, but the it doesn't matter who you vote for, the government still get in.
Yeah.
You're still owned by the same group of people who are still running the club by the same business model, and it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, you could bring in a player, a coach, who perhaps is better at improving players than Arsene Wenger is. And maybe one thing you could say about Arsene Wenger is that he hasn't been able to improve players in the way that he used to back in his pomp.
Yeah.
And that's a key, a central component for any coach, is if you can't necessarily sign the players you want to sign, is that you bring in a coach who's proven to be able to improve the quality of players, sure, and get better under them. So you could do you could do that, but really that's the only kind of extra room that you've got, and I wouldn't say that you'd necessarily that would be enough for Arsenal to win the title.
Mm. And of course, Arsenal don't have the good fortune that Juve miraculously seem to have in a lot of their games as well.
No, it's fair to say that in the dynamic in some leagues, in terms of refereeing and the way, you know, certain clubs are perceived, is, yeah, is different than it is in England.
Yeah. But also as well, with the transfer market at the moment, especially with China, I mean, we've seen the influence of China grow more. There was a feeling that there were a lot more players would be going over to China, but that hasn't seemed to happen, has it?
Well, not as yet it hasn't. I mean, it may well still happen during this closed season.
Yeah.
But I think with the money that's sloshing around in the Premier League, I mean, we were talking about this the other night,
yeah,
in the pub, and you quite rightly said that the money that's being thrown around by the Chinese Super League can be matched by, yeah, some of the big clubs here. And we even suggested that some of the Barcelona superstars might be finding their way to these shores.
They could do
in the summers with, you know, if Pep does stick around at City, it could be that that Messi and Neymar and co could be on their way over here, because, you know, while the standard maybe isn't as high with some of the clubs in Spain, certainly the money's here to pay for them. So it's something that could happen, and maybe if we're going to, and it has to happen, otherwise maybe China will start to stomp all over our game.
No,
I don't agree with that at all. No? I'm afraid, no, not in particularly with regard to those two players.
No,
maybe Neymar, but I think Messi is married to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And also his various buyout clauses that exist for that player would make it, I think, that there isn't even the Chinese would balk at the cost of bringing Messi. So I personally wouldn't say that was something that would happen.
A season ago, I would have said the same thing. I would have said that was impossible. Now, I mean, I'm not willing to think of what is impossible in football anymore. Mm. But I think it's still very unlikely. But I think now that we're living in an age where Man United are paying £41 million, reportedly, to one agent, then...
For one transfer?
Well, I think it was he's working three transfers, because he was the agent for Mkhitaryan and Zlatan as well.
Right.
So okay. I mean, he engineered the all three of them to come to the club. So I think it was there, but I could be wrong on that. I don't know the details of it. I wasn't involved in the negotiations.
That's a shame.
They should have brought you in, really, shouldn't
they? It's a bit of a shame, because I mean, you could have bought and upgraded in your studio if you had.
I could have done, yeah, and I would have done it for £40,000. So, you know, I would have been an absolute steal in comparison.
Yes, they'd have seen you coming.
0.1% of what the other guy was charging. And, you know, my door's always open. Well, not now, because we're recording. But it's generally always open. So yeah, get in touch. I mean, like, you know, I could find you some decent players. I could have told you any one of those three players was decent and worth buying. Yeah, if they'd come up to me and said, "Grant, do you think that Zlatan is a decent player? Do you think he's decent, or do you think he's just, like, you know, because he's playing in France, you know, scoring lots of goals?" And I would have told him, I said, "Do you know what? You bring him over and he'll score your goals. I know he's getting on a bit, but he keeps himself fit, keeps himself trim." Does you he? Know?
Yeah. Channeling Paul Merson there to a worrying level.
It does come worryingly natural. So who's going to be your new manager then?
I haven't got a clue.
No.
My nightmare is Chris Coleman, who I love and admire.
Homecoming, eh? Yeah.
But I think that I don't think he's proven as a Premier League coach, not for some time, and even then I'm not certain that he was necessarily proven as a Premier League coach. I think he's fine at Wales and he should stay with them.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt that he'd snap their hand off if they got him the chance to come here. And there is this kind of worrying sense that he's out there and that he should have his chance. I'm also of the view that I don't think that Steve Parish knows the landscape terribly well. All of his choices have been either spectacularly unimaginative or they've been incredibly obvious. You know, Sam was available, therefore the obvious choice. So it wasn't really a good appointment. It was the obvious appointment. Tony Pulis was available, so therefore the obvious choice. You know, but this is a guy who's appointed, you know, Alan Pardew, which I accept we had some good times with him, but I think in the long term was never a wise choice.
Who appointed
He's
Warnock?
Appointed Neil Warnock.
After
Tony Pulis, he appointed Neil Warnock.
Yes.
I mean, he went for Ian Holloway, and we did get promoted under Ian Holloway after a fashion.
My word.
Insofar as Ian Holloway was present when the team was promoted.
Terry, can I just ask you to step just 6 inches closer to the mic and just list off those names?
Well, I don't know whether I can remember all of them. George Burley. Doogie Friedman. Ian Holloway. Tony Pulis. Neil Warnock, Alan Pardew, and then obviously Sam Allardyce. Those are all the managers that Steve Parish has appointed. You can congratulate him, I suppose, for always appointing managers from these shores.
Yes.
But you'd have to say that the idea of him going elsewhere, up until about 2 hours ago, I was very keen on perhaps the idea of seeing if we could snaffle Marco Silva. But he's being linked to much bigger clubs. And I think that that's actually very naive on my part to think that he would be interested in coming to Palace. Mm. We've definitely miffed.
Places where clubs like Palace are serving drinks.
Yes, that's about the size of it, yeah. And so, yes, I mean, at the moment, I'm afraid I it doesn't look good. And all my pre-season optimism is... As dissipated, and we haven't even finished the season yet.
Yeah, well, let's hope he doesn't leave Palace in such a mess as he left Sunderland in.
Yeah.
I mean, who's coming next for you then?
I don't know who's going to be our next manager. I have heard Derek McGuinness, who's at Aberdeen.
Yeah.
He's been mentioned. He's been mentioned possibly just because he's Scottish.
And if he wins a cup on Saturday, then...
Walter Smith had been brought in to advise on recruiting a new manager. But also Ryan Giggs, who is the new Solskjaer when it comes to who's going to be the next manager. He's wheeled out every time. And Kevin Phillips is as well. And you know, I know he's done some coaching work since he stopped playing, but if you're listening now, Kevin Phillips, don't take the Sunderland job because he's an absolute legend there now. Mm. And it would be the worst thing you could do. Don't ever go back. Go and do it at Newcastle and be successful. Right? But don't do it at Sunderland.
He could go to another one of his old clubs, couldn't he?
He could go to Palace.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could go to Palace. I think the reason why he shouldn't go to Sunderland is because, unfortunately, we think Sunderland are in such a terrible state that they need probably a more experienced firefighter-style coach to try and help them. But, I mean, I suppose it's not out of the question that he could go young, Steve Parish, and bring in a young... Not that Kevin Phillips is particularly young for a coach these days, but, I mean, he's pretty young for an English coach, see previous Sound of Football podcast on this topic.
Yes.
I'm cribbing off your notes here.
Yeah.
You've got David Wagner written down there, just in the sort of like just at the bottom right hand on his own. And I'm wondering why you've got it. Now, no one would be surprised to learn that I would be very happy if David Wagner became Crystal Palace's coach. Although I'm not certain that Palace would get him or that he would necessarily get Palace. So that would be a concern. But if he doesn't take Huddersfield up, then there is a possibility because that's a small club. And that project has only got a certain shelf life. He might not be able to replicate it next year.
I think that is interesting because you've got the playoff final on Monday between Reading and Huddersfield. So you've got Yapstam and David Wagner there, both of whom you would think will have got aspirations of bigger clubs.
Mm. Yeah.
Or bigger than the clubs they're actually at the moment. And I'm sure they would never admit it, but now. Either of those two... You can either say, well, one of them is going to take their team up with them and the other one is going to get a better job at the end of the season.
Mm. Or maybe one of those coaches will end up managing Crystal Palace.
Yes.
Maybe that might be a way ahead.
Yeah.
But I at the moment, unfortunately, depressingly, it all comes back to Coleman for me, I think.
Yeah. Do you think he can be lured away from Wales at the moment?
Definitely.
They're still on quite a high, aren't they?
I have read that from people who know about these things, that Chris Coleman would love to go back into club management and would have a crack at the Palace job because he loves the club. So I don't think there'll be two. And I would imagine if he wanted to go, that the FAW would probably, you know, with a modicum of arm twisting, would probably maybe a few pennies in the jar, so to say, would probably accommodate him. Mm. I hope that doesn't happen.
I did write David Wagner there, but I think that's probably some kind of weird automatic writing. I was overtaken by it.
It's amazing what you do when you take notes.
It is, but I don't think we're
in the zone. Really.
I don't think we're fishing in that pool at all. I think Sunderland are about to embark on a wilderness.
It's difficult to see what would attract David Wagner to Sunderland, unfortunately. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that shouldn't be right, because Sunderland is a traditionally big club with a big support base and a relatively modern stadium.
Mm.
They really ought to not be where they are, and so it's very hard to imagine unless they gave him the keys and a substantial transfer budget.
Yeah,
which I don't think they're going to do either of those things.
I think Sunderland are about to embark on some years in the wilderness and some learning.
I do you know what though? We've got a couple of months now between now and the start of the season, and you know what will happen in those 2 months? You know, all this doom and gloom. We'll have a bit of sunshine, and then all of a sudden, pre-season friendlies will start, and you'll go, "Oh, actually, I've got a funny feeling about this season." Everything gets wiped clean. You know, the new tables come out. Everyone's on zero. You know, it's, "Oh, look, we're on the same points as Chelsea. Look, oh God, we can do this." Yeah, all we need to do is just match their results for the rest of the season, and everything will be fine. Yeah.
No.
No, it doesn't.
Not this time.
No,
not this year.
It will be. It will be, because you'll be starved of football, ish. You will be. It'll be easy to avoid football this summer.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah, it's only sort of like hokey tournaments, isn't it?
There is loads of hokey tournaments, and it's chock full of hokey tournaments.
Well, apart from the Women's European Championship, that's not hokey.
Yeah, but there's other tournaments around at the same time.
The Confed Cup and
CONCACAF Gold Cup. How's that for hokey?
Yeah. But the thing is, that's always on at 2 o'clock in the morning, so we never get a chance
to see that.
If you have to put gold in the title of your cup, it's a hokey cup.
Actual gold cup. I think that's what is the full title.
No, really, it's gold.
It's not called the 9-carat gold.
That is their
platinum cup.
That's their cup, though, isn't it?
That's their cup.
I mean, I don't think that's hokey. I mean, maybe you could argue that parts of CONCACAF are a bit hokey, but I think, you know, it's got Mexico, US.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
I mean, you know, there's proper football nations. Costa Rica.
I know.
Well, I think you should take that back.
Well, I should do, but
I'm not going.
I'm not going.
No, okay.
No. I'll just put a voice changer on, make it sound like you said it. I've got mad skill to do that.
Damn it.
This is going to be the last one of the regular season for us.
Yeah, but this is it for us.
We will actually have a couple of summer podcasts coming up over the summer, just to make sure you don't forget about us and we're still here. and we'll talk about the stuff that, you know, probably transfers and the hokey tournaments and the good tournaments like the Gold Cup. Yeah, despite what you say about it. I'll be waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning just to watch it. Okay. I think any last thoughts on the season? I mean, anything that you want to do that you think, actually, next season, if it does one thing better, one thing that could be nicer about next season than this one, it'll be this, and then it will make it great again.
From my point of view, a lot more competition, not have 15-point gap between 7th and 8th in the Premier League, which I think is a bit ridiculous. I'd like to see it shaken up a bit. I mean, I know that Leipzig have got their critics for the way that they've done things, but it is nice to see a bit of a not necessarily an unknown, but a club that was nowhere a few years ago come in and shake things up a bit. I'd like to see that happen everywhere.
Mm. I would prefer to see a reassertion of the old order in Germany. I'd like to see. I hate to say this, but I would actually genuinely like to see Schalke back up there, because I think that the Dortmund-Schalke rivalry is always more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see. And I think that Bayern were kind of handed the title this year.
Mm.
I think that there was an opportunity to take them away. In hindsight, And I would like to see that happen next year. I think that I think it would be bad for the Bundesliga if Bayern won the title again, unless they make significant changes to their squad, because they can't just keep relying on Arjen Robben. And you know, guys, they've lost Lahn, they're losing Alonso. They're going to need to make some changes. Some of their new signings haven't quite worked out. They need to make some changes, and it would be annoying if they didn't make those changes and yet somehow still managed to stroll over the line like they did. And I mean, Palace fall from bottom.
You'll be happy with that,
Mike? Yeah, no, absolutely. After, I was genuinely optimistic that next season that we might actually, you know, go top half next season. But now, nope, yep. All gone. Yeah.
Well, listeners, I hope you come back in August.
Oh yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah, we'll be back for our ninth season.
Wow. Ninth season
it'll be. Yeah.
When do we get? So what? The one away from our testimonial.
Yeah.
And that's the part where the listeners give us money, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we all go off at the 26th minute.
Watch them scatter.
Yeah. We've only going to do a couple more of the box sets now.
I thought we were doing one more.
We're going to do one more this weekend for the cup finals. We'll slip out another one in a couple of weeks' time for the internationals as well, the international break in early June. So you better read that about it. Right. But after that, you're on your own. I might send out a little crib sheet of all the hockey tournaments that are on over the summer. If you're really desperate to watch the football, then I'll tell you where to go. Okay, so get along to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball. And yeah, that'd be it. But for now, all we're going to do is going to get some games out, put our ties around our heads, and we're ready to go. So from me, Graeme Sibley, from Jan Dotton and from Terry DeFellin, enjoy the postseason, enjoy the close season, and goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Do kids still wear their ties around their heads? I've got a feeling that was a 70s thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm sure they don't take board games into school either.
I don't think they even know what a board game
is. I would love to think that there is some retro kid who does do that on the last day of school.
Comes in, it'll be Settlers of Catan or something like
that. Oh, I bought Settlers of Catan.
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Yeah. What is Settlers of Catan?
It's one of these big tabletop games. Are you across the whole tabletop phenomenon?
No.
Board games like vinyl and magnetic cassettes are definitely back. and although, you know, in the case of magnetic cassettes, I have no idea why, but they are. Most of them are sort of like more non-competitive, so they're more, you work as a team. And one of the more popular ones is Settlers of Catan. And it's a kind of trading, kind of commerce-y, empire-building kind of way, but not empire, because obviously empires are, you know,
violent
and horrible. Yeah.
They've got a box of it down at the Rangers.
What, Settlers of Catan?
I think they have. Yeah.
Well, there's an afternoon there.
That's our close season.
Oh, man alive. I wish I hadn't said that now.